It's time for another Taco Tuesday here on Q92, where we talk nutrition and all things healthy with Amber Boyens, registered dietitian and nutritionist. And welcome back to the airwaves again this week.
Thanks for having me.
Well, let's continue our discussion from last week.
Yes.
We're going to be talking about inflammation.
We are. We're going to keep that train rolling.
Yeah, we had a couple of listeners that were kind of wondering about information on that, so I'm sure they'll appreciate a little more information on the topic.
Absolutely. And inflammation is really one of those things. It's such a broad topic, inflammation. So when we talk about it, you know, there's things that we pull out, there's things that we can add in to decrease inflammation in our body. But even when we talk about inflammation, today we'll talk a little bit about what does that even mean? When we look at the research that shows that something is inflammatory or anti-inflammatory, what are we even looking at? Yeah, we'll talk a little bit about that today, because I think that that can sometimes be helpful to understand a little bit about what that means. So sometimes research will just look at subjective symptoms. So they'll ask people, are your, after this intervention, if it was an intervention, so after we had you eat more of this food, did your symptoms change? Or after we had you pull this out, did your symptoms change? And that isn't something we can really measure objectively, or not something that we can put a number to necessarily that's going to be the same across the board, but it's still useful information. The challenge we run into there, especially when it comes to food, is a placebo effect. But I always tell people a placebo effect, or where you notice something just because you're doing something different, basically.
You think it changed, but it really didn't.
Exactly. But a placebo effect is still an effect. So if you pull gluten out and you feel better, even if it's a placebo effect, if you feel better and you still have a balanced diet, well, pull it out. But there are some things that we can look at that are a little bit more objective, some things that we can measure. Now, the immune system is super complex. So there are a lot of different markers that we could look at when it comes to blood work. But some of the most common ones that we look at are CRP, or C-reactive protein. And that's often used as like a cardiovascular marker. So cardiovascular inflammation. IL-6 or interleukin-6 is another one that we sometimes look at. And what that is, again, it's got a kind of a nuanced job, but generally speaking, we look at it from an inflammatory standpoint. And it's kind of it's called a cytokine or a cell signaler released by the immune system. So that's something we might look at to see if that goes up in response to an intervention. And then TNF, or tumor necrotic factor alpha. That's
I've studied that.
That's another one that we tend to measure. So those are three of the most common ones, especially with regards to what we're going to talk about today, and that's dairy. So when we talk about markers of inflammation, those are the three primary markers of inflammation that most of these studies are looking at. Now, again, if you feel more inflamed or you feel more joint pain is a big area of inflammation people will talk about. Sometimes skin reactions are things that people will talk about, saying that they get inflammation from a certain food. So there are things that we kind of have in our head as inflammatory reactions, and some of the research might look at some of that as well. But dairy's gotten a lot of bad press in the last few years. It has, just like grains. There's been lots of diets that have surrounded pulling out dairy. You and I were just talking about how dairy consumption has increased a little bit recently.
To a report I heard on the Linder Farm Network last week, they had one of their dairy spokespeople was saying they're seeing more sales of fluid milk and that kind of thing than they have for a while. So
I believe it.
The image is changing a bit. Huh?
The image is changing a little bit. And the research that we're going to talk about today kind of supports that. So when we talk about dairy, there's been a lot of kind of negative attention toward it as something that's inflammatory. And for some people, you might not tolerate it. So some people are lactose intolerant, so they might do okay with cheese, but they don't do okay with milk or yogurt or ice cream or things that contain more of the dairy sugar, which is lactose. Some people, like my baby, have dairy allergies where they're allergic to the protein in it, either whey or casein. So there are people who are not going to do well with dairy. And just like with grains, some people with certain autoimmune conditions or other illnesses or diseases might feel better when they pull dairy out. But when we look at the vast majority of the research, dairy does not increase are inflammatory markers. And it appears from most of our research to show that it's either neutral, has no effect on inflammation at all, or is even beneficial. So the ones that we tend to see being most beneficial would especially be like our fermented milk products. So fermented milk products, two most common ones would be kefir, which I think we've talked about a little bit before, or yogurt. So kefir and yogurt are our two kind of most common fermented dairy products and probably have the most benefit when it comes to reducing inflammation, supporting good gut health, all of those.
Well, I'm familiar with yogurt. What was that first one?
Kefir. So kefir is kind of like yogurt, except you drink it.
Oh.
So when we talk about fermentation, basically what's happening is we're creating live cultures in these foods. And usually when we have fermented yogurt, it's going to have a couple of different bacteria in it. Kefir tends to have closer to like 8 to 12 beneficial bacteria or yeast or other microorganisms in it that are good for us. So I know all of the local grocery stores around here that I've been to sell kefir, so you should be able to find it pretty easily, even if you live out in a rural area. Usually you find it right by the yogurt. So that could be one to try.
Yes.
So that's something you can do next time you go to the grocery store, pick up some kefir, and then next week you can let us know what you thought.
There you go. I'll try to make, when I'm picking up some Folgers, I'll pick up some kefir.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. We can sneak it into that smoothie mom makes you every day.
There you go.
The other question I get asked a lot about dairy is fat-free versus low-fat versus full-fat. And for quite a while, we've had the recommendation of doing low-fat or fat-free dairy products with the belief that higher fat dairy products increase cardiovascular risk. But a lot of that is not panning out in some of our more recent research. We're not seeing increased risk from the dairy fats. So what I typically encourage people to do is low fat is a nice compromise there, especially if you are at greater risk for cardiovascular disease. It can be a good way to cut down on some of your animal-based saturated fat. But three servings of dairy per day of varying fat levels has been shown to improve all sorts of cardiometabolic markers. So fat is satisfying. Fat is filling. Fat helps us regulate blood sugars. So fat plays a really important role in our diet. It's just if you're eating a lot of animal products that are rich sources of fat, that could create some problems. So low fat can be a good compromise. I typically don't recommend fat-free because more often than not, it's got sugar added to it, because when we pull out fat, we also pull out flavor. So then we've got to put something back in to make it taste good again. So just to hit on the alternatives really fast, because there are a lot of alternatives. We've got alternatives made from soy, from flax, from pea protein, from cashews, from almonds, all sorts of things. And again, they're probably not anti-inflammatory, but they're probably not pro-inflammatory for most people either. Typically, they're going to have stuff added to them to make the consistency closer to that of true dairy. So carrageenan is a big one that gets talked about. It comes from a red seaweed that's been used for hundreds of years, but just more recently as a thickener or a gelling agent. And then lots of other gums too. So you might see xanthan gum, locust bean gum, acacia gum. Again, those are all used as a thickener to help with consistency. Any one of those can cause GI symptoms. So if you made the switch from dairy to a dairy alternative, thinking that it's going to help with GI symptoms and they got worse, it might be because of some of those additives. Other than the additives causing GI symptoms, though, typically they're not going to be harmful. So I wouldn't say they're necessarily better or worse. If you feel you don't do well with dairy or you're avoiding it, perfectly safe to go to those dairy alternatives. They're often not going to have as much protein or as much fat, good fat, or anything like that. So sometimes they can be a good option for people who are trying to reduce sugar intake or carb intake. But either one is an okay option.
You know me, I like a good tall glass of milk.
I know you do.
I go to the restaurant and I order milk along with my meal.
That's right.
A lot of times they forget to bring it because I think I'm the only guy who orders milk sometimes. You know, you look around the restaurant, nobody else is drinking it, but
it's better than having a pop.
Good to change that, I think.
Yeah.
Right. So that's my goal.
There we
Everybody
go.
Have a glass of milk.
There we go.
Well, Amber, thanks for the info today. And if anybody has any questions, where do they find you?
Absolutely. Well, hopefully we'll have a good website for you to go to up and running here in the next couple of weeks, and I'll get that out to you all as soon as I have it. But for right now, you can reach out to me if you're local here. Anywhere you see me in town, just let me know if you have something you want us to talk about, or give us a call here at the radio station, and or shoot an email this way, and we're happy to talk about anything you're interested in.
Very good. We'll talk again next week on Taco Tuesday.
That sounds great.
Thanks, Amber.